I don't know about you, but I got a really, really busy week ahead of me. I mean, lots and lots of things are going on. Tomorrow morning, I got to get up a little earlier than what I would normally want to. I have a Skype meeting with some of my minister friends that we keep in touch with, and so that's going to start off pretty early for me. So the alarm is going to go off, and I'm going to have to drag myself out of bed. And, well, you know what Monday mornings can be like sometimes. And it really is only going to pick up speed. I mean, I'm glad that we got the rain, but because we got the rain, it meant that I wasn't able to mow the lawn when I was supposed to. And so I've got to mow the lawn and get it ready. Obviously, I've got to get a haircut. That is long overdue. I've got to plan that. Wednesday night is coming up, which is Wednesday's a big day. So a lot of things are going on. I've got to get ready for a class. Just really, my week is packed. There's going to be a wedding coming up, and so that involves traveling and going and staying somewhere. And then after that, we have the auction on Sunday, which I know all of y'all are excited for, and I'm excited too, but I mean, that's a lot to get ready for. And then we have the auction on Sunday, and then Monday we actually leave for Tuba City, which is really exciting too, but there's so many things that I have to prepare before I go. In fact, not only this week do I have to prepare my sermon for next Sunday while I already have a busy week, but I also have to prepare the sermon for the next one because the next week I'll be gone. So I have to get Luke and John ready all at the same time. I really don't know what I'm going to do. It's just, I'm a little overwhelmed. I'm a little stressed out. I'm exhausted and I'm tired. And it's Father's Day. And so that means that I have to pick where we're going to eat today. I mean, really, I've got so much going on. Okay, so maybe my life is not that full. Maybe it's not just that stressed out. But I think all of us get a sense that sometimes we can be overwhelmed. And no one understood that better than Jesus. This morning we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Mark, and really the direction that Mark is coming from when he talks about Jesus, it's not so much as this great teacher or these long sermons. There's no Sermon on the Mount, there's no Sermon on the Plain, there's not really even a whole lot of parables. Mark is going to describe Jesus as a servant. In fact, he's going to show throughout his gospel, his short gospel, that Jesus is this suffering servant and he's a man of action. What we see more than anything else in the Gospel of Mark, over and over again, is Jesus doing. Jesus the servant. Jesus is the one who's out there. He's performing miracles. He's amongst the people, and something is always going on. A word that you will see over and over again in the Gospel of Mark is immediately. Immediately Jesus did this. Immediately they got in the boat. Immediately a storm came on. Immediately this. Over and over again, there's a sense of something is always going on. Something is always taking place. And if you look through Mark, you'll realize pretty quickly that being the Son of God can be really tiring work. If you jump into Mark chapter 4 towards the end, you're going to land in a boat. And the boat is out on the Sea of Galilee, and it's not a calm day because immediately a furious squall came up and it was nearly capsizing the boat, and those in the boat were afraid. And what did they do? They went to Jesus. And what was Jesus doing on the boat amidst the storm? Sleeping. The Son of God, in the bottom of a small vessel, is laying down asleep. It's tiring work. It's already been a grueling experience for Jesus. He's hardly started his ministry. He hasn't even picked all of his followers, and his enemies are looking for a way to kill him in chapter 3. chapter 4, he's on a boat, he's exhausted, he's trying to get some rest, and he doesn't even get that because his disciples wake him up. And not only do they wake him up from a sleep that he so desperately needed because he's down at the bottom of the boat when everybody else is afraid, they wake him up and they ask him the craziest question. They said, "Don't you care?" Jesus wakes up and he calms the storm. They step off of that boat and they're met immediately by a man who's possessed by a demon. Not just one. In fact, he calls himself a legion because there are many demons inside this man. And this conversation goes back and forth, and he's screaming at Jesus, "What do you want with me, Son of the Most High God?" And ultimately, Jesus is going to cast the demons out. This is tough work here. Takes the demons out, casts them out into a herd of 2,000 pigs. They run off a cliff and they die. And the people there want Jesus to leave because of what just happened. So Jesus leaves, and on the way, he's walking, and he's there touched by a woman. She reaches out and she grabs his cloak, and he realizes that power has come out from him, and he stops. And he waits, and he waits, and he listens to her story. While everybody else wants to go on, he stops and he listens. It's tiring work for the Son of God. Ultimately, they're going to keep going on. He's headed to the house of a little girl who has just died. And he walks into the house and he says, "She's not dead, she's just asleep." And the people do what? They laugh at Jesus. It's not easy being the Son of God. He sends them out of the room and he raises the young 12-year-old back to life. From there, he heads back to his hometown. It's good to be home, isn't it? To go see family and friends. It is, if you're not Jesus, the carpenter from Nazareth, who was claiming to be the Son of God. There were a lot of people who didn't believe Jesus, not the least of which were the people that he had grown up with and the people in whom he had shared a house with as a young boy. Jesus faced opposition and unfaithfulness from people in his own hometown. In fact, it said he was astounded at their lack of faith, and he did no miracles there because of it. After that, he's going to send out his 12. He's going to give them instructions on what to do. He's going to give them power through his Spirit to go out and heal. And they're really excited about this. They go out, they come back, and they're ready to tell Jesus about all the things that they had done. But there's this interruption that takes place in Mark chapter 6. News comes back, not good news. News that his cousin, the one who had been the herald for his ministry, had just died. A young man in his early 30s. Tragic. And the reason why he died was really because of Jesus. John was dead. Murdered by Herodias and her dancing daughter, who decided that if they could have one thing in the kingdom, it would be John's head on a platter. Jesus was overwhelmed with grief. He was exhausted. Calming seas, sending out spirits into pigs, listening to his disciples, sharing with them over and over. It had been a busy month. And he knew it was time to rest. So join with me as we look at Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 34. It says this: When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, and so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Can't you hear it in their voice? Jesus, you've been talking a long time. We're out in the middle of nowhere. The sun's going down. Don't you think we need to just go ahead and call it? Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take 8 months of wages. Are we to go and spend that much money on bread to give them to eat? We can't afford this. This is not in the budget. Jesus, we got too much going on right now. Let's call it a day. How many loaves do you have? Yes. Go and see. When they found out, they said 5 and 2 fish. When Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up into heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among all of them. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten there was about 5,000. It's an amazing miracle, isn't it? It's the feeding of 5,000. Just another story that exemplifies what Mark is trying to portray about Jesus. Over and over again, Jesus is doing and Jesus is doing. In fact, it's only in Mark that we not only have the feeding of 5,000, but just a little bit later on, you can read on about the feeding of 4,000. Jesus is always about going and going and doing and doing. But we forget that. We get lost in the fact that this is a really cool miracle. And this is the one we want to teach to our kids. And it is a great miracle and has a great lesson that God can do amazing things through just the little that we have if we just have faith. But I think we're missing out on what's really going on in Mark chapter 6. We get so caught up in the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, that we forget where Jesus is at this moment. Jesus is landed right in the middle of exhausted. He's worn out. He's hungry. His disciples are hungry. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, Jesus is tapped out. He's running on dry. He needs to get away. And he tries to. He tries to get away, but there's a crowd that's following him, and he can't. And he looks at them, and he sees an exhausted people. And he has compassion on them. And he knows they're exhausted. You know why he knows they're exhausted? Because he says, you are like sheep without a shepherd. You don't have direction. You don't have guidance. You don't have someone leading you, protecting you, looking over you. And because of that, you're exhausted. You're chasing things around and you can't find satisfaction. And you're empty. And the only thing full about your lives is your schedules. It's what's so ironic is that the more that we fill our lives with things that we think are important, the more times we end up empty because we're not finding ourselves near our shepherd. We wander off. We talk about schedules and meetings and trips. And we need vacations to get away from our daily lives. And then we need vacations to get away from our vacations, which were filled with doing things. You know this, don't you? You know what it's like. The worst part of a vacation is walking back in. One, because the vacation is over. And two, you're completely exhausted from your vacation. Listen to this. Going back just a few verses I intentionally skipped over. But back before he fed the 5,000, we have this in Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Jesus had heard the news that his cousin had just died, been beheaded, he had been murdered. And they had come back and they were excited about all the great things that had happened. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. And it's this next verse 33 that people recognize Jesus and they go off after him. Jesus, in light of all that had just taken place, the calming of the sea, the casting out of the demons, the sending out of the 12, over and over again, he's exhausted. They're hungry. People have been around. They haven't had a chance to eat. And he says, "We got to get away. We got to get away." And so they go to head away. And in the process of trying to get away, they get caught again. And they're worn out and they're tired. But Jesus makes one more great push because of the compassion that he has on the people. And he teaches them and he feeds them. And now he's out. Jesus, Son of God, knows what it's like to be exhausted. He knows what it's like to end a day thinking of what has to come next. He may not have had a day planner, a Palm Pilot, or a smartphone that would plan out his weeks and months ahead, but he knew that each step that he took was going to be more grueling and gruesome than the one before, and he knew he needed rest. He's going to feed the 5,000. And he's going to send off his apostles and say, "You guys go ahead of me." And he's going to stay back. And he's going to find it. Because Jesus understood the value of rest. Not just closing your eyes and falling asleep rest. But a rest that is away from the other people. Away from the noise. Away from the commands and the demands of what life calls you to. And instead, he found himself right next to his Father. And there he could be rejuvenated. Everything needs rest. Fields need rest. Bears need rest. Rechargeable batteries need rest. You can't just keep running over and over again and expecting to have any type of results. You have to get away. Jesus knew this, and that's why the call he gives is so countercultural. He doesn't say, "Come with me. I'm going to wear you out. I'm going to fill your schedule." He says, "Come with me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, and you will find rest." It's Father's Day. And we want to celebrate our fathers and what they mean to us and what they've done for us, and how for so many of them, whether they're our biological father or maybe one of the men in this room or a grandfather that you know, they have been able to remind us of a Father in heaven who loves us. A God who calls us to rest. And that's what Jesus does here. Resting is not a call to give up. It's a reminder to get ready. Jesus would go away so that he might be filled up and be ready again to go out into the world. The suffering servant knew all too well the importance of getting away and getting refueled. What about you? Do you recognize how much we need rest? God knew. God knew from the very beginning. Remember what he did on the seventh day? God what? God rested. We've talked about this before. What did God do on the sixth day? Who did he create? He created man. It's simple. Do the math. Day six, he created man. Day seven, he said what? It's nap time. We're going to rest. The first morning, the first full day that man experienced, God said, okay, it's time to rest. And man saying, wait, we hadn't done anything. He said, that's right. Because until you're in me, until you're with me, until you're charged up and refueled, you can do nothing. And so for all of us who represent the headless chickens running around, they think, I'm so busy, I'm so tired, I'm so worn out. Find some rest. Not look at my phone rest, not look at a TV rest, not listening to the radio rest. I mean like flat out doing nothing rest. Find a way to get away. Turn off the phone. Silence it. Hide it. Put it away. This week, find 1 hour. And I'm not even going to say when that hour needs to come. Maybe it's going to be in 10-minute chunks. Say, this 10 minutes, no phone, no radio, no TV, no kids and wives. For 10 minutes, that's going to be hard to do. Moms, that's why the bathroom door has a lock on it. Go lock that thing and hide in it. 10 minutes. Maybe you say 10 minutes is not it. Maybe you say, Thursday's an hour. I'm gonna plan out an hour and just find yourself doing nothing. Don't think about schedules. Just find yourself doing nothing. Focus on God. You need it. Jesus needed rest with his Father. And here's the great thing, folks. No matter how lousy you've been as a son or a daughter, no matter how long it's been since you've called Jesus into your life to rest with him, no matter how many mistakes that you've made, you have a Father who says, just come back. Just come back towards me. Come back home and you'll find rest. Can you imagine it? Just a few minutes this week. Find yourself in silence and in prayer and in the presence of a Father.
who loves you. You might not want to end that hour, but one thing's for sure. You spend time with God, and He will fill you up. Let our Father come and fill our lives so that we can get back out and feed the people. This morning we're calling you to rest. We're calling you to an opportunity to find yourselves in the arms of a Father who loves you and who has forgiven you and who has purposed you. Let Him refill you. Let Him do it as we stand.